Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro, Laura Rosenberg, the RZA.
The RZA.
What's going on, sir? How are you?
Goody, goody, good. Peace and blessings. Great to see y'all brothers again. Always a pleasure to, you know, share some time with y'all and Bill. So yeah. Bong, bong.
Listen, we would love to have you back in the studio one day when you get up New York way and we could fit in the schedule. But now we right here on the precipice of the big season finale.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Man. What a journey this season, man. What a journey. It was a journey creating it. It's a journey sharing it with the fans and sharing it with the, you know, the Wu brothers and the whole history of all of it. It's just what a journey. And I'm super excited for this final episode. I think it's really a good culmination of, you know, season one, season two, and we get to this location here in season three. I think it was what people wanted to see. They wanted to see 36 Chambers and how that was made and all that, and bong bong, this final episode is going to really give us a beautiful dose.
There's constant sorry Laura, go ahead.
No, is the Wu family happy on the way they've been portrayed on the show?
You know what's so cool, I just had a chance this weekend, and we had a festival at Miami Three Points, and I actually had a chance to talk to everybody. So, right. You know what I mean? Man, yo, brothers are happy.
Okay,
they're
good.
Happy, yo, and they're happy even more so because they like, yo, the fans are loving it. And, you know, everybody got their little comments like,
this didn't happen like right, that. That right, didn't right, happen right. like that.
Yeah, everybody got their comments. But even the most hard-headed commenters, like the ones that like really give me a hard time and keep it 100%, like Chef keeps it 100%, that goes
I knew it was going to be Ray.
You know what I mean? But he was sitting there, and I had I had Marcus Chandler, the guy who plays Power. He hung out with me this weekend, too. And they was like, yo, they loved it. And they asked me, Ray said that Marcus is his favorite character, which is pretty interesting. He's like, yo, what you doing? Son, what you doing? That's what I'm talking about. So,
yeah, that's a pretty big compliment considering Power's relationship with Ray. I've been this. First of all, if you guys haven't watched this Wu-Tang show on Hulu yet, I really recommend it. I'm hopeful that this means we'll get to a third season. Do we know yet, RZA? Or is it? Do they take some time and they see how people check in with this before they decide?
Yeah, they take some time. They probably take like 12 weeks before they be like, "Yeah, okay, let's dance again." So I'm sitting there, you know, fingers and toes crossed as well. You know what I mean?
How far would you like to see this go? Like, to what point in the Wu-Tang story do you think this would really work?
Well, to be honest with you, it's as long as people are being inspired and entertained at the same time. You know what I mean? It's the difference to write a song and to put your music out there and to lyrically express yourself with music, but to express yourself in media like TV and dramatization of life events, you get to actually, you know, stuff more. A picture could say 1,000 words. So I'm just so thrilled to see all the fans that just keep saying, yo, I'm inspired. Mm-hmm. There was an episode 6, where they go into the mind of the character Bobby and shows how hip-hop producers think, how we make beats. Some people think, well, we just grabbed a sample and there wasn't no work put into it. But it's a lot of work that goes into it. Super, super amount of work. Just as much as work that goes into composing a song or orchestra or whatever. And so many people had tweeted me like, yo, it made them look into producing. It made other producers dust off their old beat machines. And the most important thing for me, it made my son go in his room and hit that MPC. Mm. So I was like, okay. Mm. And so inspiration is really one of the main goals of the show. And as long as people are inspired by it, I want to keep sharing.
Now, the art installation that's become a big topic of conversation in the last week, which was the Once Upon a Time, which I want to thank you again for inviting me and several other media folks to when y'all first sold the damn thing back. I mean, how many years ago was that now?
I feel like that was, what, at least 5 or 6 years,
yeah,
right?
6, 7 years ago, I think.
Yeah, so now it's been bought by a company that, I guess, what is it? A Pleaser DAO or something? Some...
Yeah, Pleaser DAO.
Yeah. Now, when you guys first made this, when Silver Rings and your oversight was first putting this whole project together to have this piece of art that's a CD with all of this... You know, Moroccan wood, silver, blah, blah, all the things. I remember I was like, what are they doing? Did you know where things was going then, or you just wanted to make something that was so unique and so special? What was the impetus for the original, for the idea? And then I want to ask you, like, how you feel about things now?
Look, it definitely was, the idea was to make something that was unique, that had a value of its own. And we actually, when we let it go, I just remember the quote that came out of my head was like, yo, this thing is going to have a life of its own, like a child. You give birth to a child, but he's going to grow and he's going to live his life. He's going to leave the crib one day, get married and do what he do. So this was something like that for us, you know, like it's going to have a life of its own. Some of us going to like the life. Some of us going to hate the life. Some of us going to want to attach to it or detach from it. And it's doing it. It's doing exactly that. Think about it, right? It's sound kind of funny, but a lot of the Wu brothers, we had our time sitting, you know, either in a cell or something like that, you know, with the law, right? This album sat in the Department of Justice for a couple of years, so.
Yo, and they sold it for you.
Yeah, exactly. You see what I'm saying? So. It's a very unique thing, but how I feel about it now is that now that it's out of their hands, and no disrespect to Martin Shkreli, because I don't never knock somebody who you know, somebody buys something, they buy something, right? But you know, it was in the wrong hands in all reality. You know what I mean? When you know he made the deal before it was revealed. Of his character, his personality, and all the insidious things he would go on to do. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the guy I met, but he definitely unfolded into that guy, and he had control of this one-of-a-kind piece of art, and I can say that it was in the wrong hands. I can honestly say that, and but still, it was a sell, and I can't complain on who you sell to, you know what I mean? Everybody got a right to, you know, to buy something that's for sale. But now I think it's in the right hands. I'm hoping that it is in the right hands.
What does that mean going forward?
Well, I spoke to the gentleman who's kind of leading the way, and it just seems to have more of a moral woo vibe about him. You know what I mean? You know, woo is a vibe. Y'all know that. You know, and I strive to say it's a vibe of positivity. Even with the aggression, even with the rah-rah, even with growing up on the crime side, it's still...
It's a family, though.
Yeah, it's a family, and it's a positiveness. So having totally got with them and figure out, it was some original ideas that we wanted to do with this album.
Now...
A lot of beautiful ideas that, you know, wasn't disclosed to the public, and I won't disclose it now, but those ideas were not going to be able to happen with Mr. Shkreli. And now that Pleaser DAO has it, there's opportunity that a lot of these beautiful ideas of what this art can be and what it could, how it could expand itself in the world and in its own life of itself, I think the possibilities are there now.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember watching Mics and Men, and there was some mixed feelings with the rest of the squad when it came to this album. Now, is everybody now fully on board? Do they embrace it? Do embrace what you're doing, and how involved are they in the negotiations, or is this just you and Silver Rings?
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
No, actually, this particular part of the story is not me or Silver Rings. It's the government.
made a move.
You know what I mean?
Where do they stand now? In the Klan,
most likely, I don't know. I haven't checked their temperature, but I wouldn't doubt that some people will still feel the same. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the beauty of us is we don't always agree. We don't always see it the same. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know, we always find the common denominator. You know, that's probably one of the undertones of Wu-Tang is there's so much things uncommon, so many things you could disagree with, but there is a common denominator. And that the common denominator is what always keeps it tight.
Nothing can happen with this piece of art without your approval, correct?
Yes.
It has to be you and the owner to whatever takes place.
Yes, I would say it's me. Silver Rings has a vote, and Wu-Tang has a vote as well. Their vote is usually translated by me. You know, I'm the abbot of it. So, but you can't just look. You could put it. It's like a painting. You could hang it on the wall. You know what I mean? But you just can't go ahead and you could destroy it. You know what I mean? But you can't go ahead and just, break the contractual laws, 88 years of non-commercialization, non-duplication. There's so many things that you can't do that if we decided that, you know what, we're going to, as they call it, make another amendment. Like, you know how the Constitution had to make an amendment. You had to make an Emancipation Proclamation. So, you know what I mean? To change the law of the land. If we decided to do that, we can do that.
I was just going to ask, is this still about this?
Yeah, I was going to ask one more time because Rosenberg and I were pontificating on the air the other day, and Rosenberg was like, yo, they should do a Versus where they just play the album one time. And then when it came out, we was both like, ooh, but then I was like, but then somebody's going to grab it, duplicate it, bootleg it, and then it'll be taken from that digital. And that, and then it may get out the way, but will there be a public listening at some time that you would approve where we could go to a location and have an experience?
One of the original visions for the album was that it should be treated like a piece of art, right? Like Mona Lisa. If you want to see that, you have to go to the Louvre in France. You could go and you go look at it, and you can look at this historical painting that he did so many years ago, and see it in a physical form. So that was one of the ideas for Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, that it would travel its route through museums or special locations that you could come in. But there's stipulations on that it can't, you know, like that it can't be, like you can't just do that though, right? Based on all the legal parameters surrounding it. But that's something I always wanted personally. That was probably 40% of the inspiration was like, yeah, I want something that's like, that people will actually travel to hear and listen. Like you can't see it. You can't get it at home. Mm-hmm. You can't get it on your phone. You can't even get it on your TV set. I wanted something that's like, yo, if you really want this, you got to go to the location and experience it. Because at the end of the day, Ebro, that's back to the foundation of even me just looking for Black Caesar soundtrack.
Right.
I went to 20 stores looking for that, yo. And then when I found it on Bleecker Street, it was too much. I couldn't afford it. You know what I mean? But the point of the matter is like
It meant that much, though. It meant a lot.
The aspiration to go, man. Yeah. So I want, that's what I want for this record. I want people to potentially, you know, find it in the location, you know, it finds a location or multiple locations, almost like a museum tour maybe, and you get to go and sit down and experience it, and then go home. Go home after that and talk about it, think about it, and remember what you saw, seen, and heard.
There are a lot of things I've learned from the show, and specifically about you and other members of Wu. One thing I did not realize till I watched the show was the drama that you had with Ooh We Love You Rakim, which I only knew as the version that came out on the video. But I think there's an interesting lesson in there for artists and people out there, because you really thought you were completely screwed by losing the original sample, huh? Like, it totally changed the song. Because after I heard the original, what was that, Denise Williams?
Yeah.
And that was eventually used for Mike Geronimo's Shit's Real years later.
Right.
But I never knew that that's what the sample was. And at the time, did you think that, like, losing that sample basically kind of deep sixed your entire career?
Well, at the time, it definitely hurt me. I guess it definitely was a big loss. Fortunately, that loss only made me stronger. But, yeah, at the end of the day, you could say I started off as a failure. You know what I mean? And failure, sometimes we don't come back from failure. I was able to come back from that failure. That original Denise Williams sample was circulating. You know, that's the one, when you look at Power and Raekwon having the faith and me as a producer and the movement that Staten Island was going to get on the map, it was that version. That's the version that Power had in his bands. Mm. My man Slim on Staten Island, who used to have the best sound system in the Jeep. That's the version that they were driving around the hood hearing it. And everybody's like, yo, yeah, we about to be on the map. You know what I mean? And the other version, the crazy thing, the version that did come out was, even though, you know, it was still one of my tracks, it was actually, I had help on that version. I had help from RNS, who was Shaheen's producer. And I even had help from Prince Paul. He's the one who actually put the hi-hats on my shit. I was making beats without the hi-hats.
Wow. Prince Paul helped you all the way back then, all the way on that. Wow.
Yep. And then, but the version that, to me, that was like, you know, the one that I was not helped with was the Denise Williams sample. But at the end of the day, things do what they do. They happen for their reason. And sample clearances is still an issue in hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing, I'll tell you one quick story. The original Brain the Ruckus also had a crazy sample. The original Seventh Chamber. The original Seventh Chamber sample was bananas. It was an ill catch from a stylistic location. Like, it was a stylistic song, but I caught it from a very unique slice of the song. And we ate that shit up. And it was like, yo, we couldn't get it cleared. And so I basically, not getting my samples cleared forced me to creatively come up with alternatives. And that's why you hear Brain the Ruckus, or the structure of it is basically me going piece by piece, part by part, finding ways to emphasize what the rapper is doing. And it actually forced me to learn how to compose, in all reality.
97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
That's dope.
Those songs are so interesting too, in retrospect. Like, those are some of the songs that structurally are so different that when you try to play that album for someone today, if they didn't have an ear for it, they would be like, what the fuck am I listening to?
Well, yeah, but the improvisational aspects of it, and all, like you said, the composer aspects of it, is also why it was so critically acclaimed, right? Because there were people listening to it and being able to go, yo, I don't even know how he got there.
This is just a different thing.
You know what I'm saying? Which, to what RZA was saying earlier in the convo, is about the hard work that goes into making these samples and loops and things actually make sense, and something that you could bob your head to. The amount of work it takes to put all that into one place is very hard.
Are there other people like me out there, RZA, who are like such huge fans, who, for whatever reason, never realized that you and Ghostface are actually family? Because, like, I did not realize that Ghost had children with your sister until this TV show. And then I looked it up and I saw it's true. And I'm like, how could I be? I never knew. Am I the only one?
Maybe. Nah.
It's a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah, I had no idea.
We didn't, you know, we didn't family blast in those days, right? You know, nowadays people, families are their business even, you know what I mean? So we was real quiet about our family. You know, I think Wu-Tang kind of had the mafia mentality in this. I don't know if it's this whole Staten Island vibe or whatever. You know, like I got, you know, in my East Coast crib, I got the biggest picture of Marlon Brando as Vito Corleone in my little boom boom room. Talking about, you know, big 6 feet picture or something like that, right? Because our fathers was absent a lot, and so he becomes a father figure. You know, Tony Montana becomes the aspiration for us, you know, of success. But the Staten Island Mafia mindset of keeping family kind of really quiet and just living our life without including wife and children, that's been our mentality for a long time. I think we're coming out of it now in the last, you know, 10 years, whatever, and definitely the TV show was showing. I'm showing, you know, my mother as well. You know, he showed Meth as a kid and some things he went through with his family. So it's like, yeah, that was really off limits for us for a long time. So it makes sense that people didn't know that, you know, that the children were right there. You know, my niece, my nephew were right here, my sister. And the thing about the show, it showed it, and I can just quote this now, in season one, they showed that it was a relationship that was happening that we didn't know about. And when it happened, when we found out, I was actually against it, you know, against it only because I know my brother Ghost. So like, wait a minute, sis, what? This dude right here, you know what, man, he'll be doing it. Like, you know what I mean? Back in those days, you know what I mean? We was already doing what we was doing. Just even on the hustle level, just even if you want to get the fiends that just bless you or whatever, yo, it was just like that. And so, I didn't see that it was, you know, the right thing for both of their hearts, but they both came to me and was like, yo, we love each other. You know what I mean? We love each other and nothing is more powerful than love. And I just gave in on it. Like, yo, they love each other, so, you know? And so they went on to have two children together.
So by blood or by marriage, you are related to Ghost Dini, you are related to the Jizza. You are related to Old Dirty?
Yep.
Who am I forgetting? Anyone else? Any other members that you're also related to?
So those are the ones, like you said, by blood or marriage. And then the rest of the crew, you know, me and Raekwon go back to the third grade. me and U-Guard, that's high school. Everybody at least from the age of 14 and up, yo.
Wow. Mathematics all the way back then?
Mathematics all the way back then. Math, Enlightened, Infinite. I probably met them when I was 13.
Crazy.
Well, look, that's just a testament. That right there is a whole, you know, brotherhood, family. You know, I'm glad you're showing that in this show, too. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times the music and what people take from the music isn't the brotherhood, community building, family building part. And the fact that you're showing this other lay, I think, is important to the black family and the black community, too, coming from where y'all came from and still being able to have this bond so many years.
Well,
later.
And have issues that come up. Like, you guys have your issues. We know that, RZA.
All
like,
families do.
Yeah, and especially you, because RZA is a lot of ways like the older brother of the family. You led this
and
whole
older
operation.
Older brothers are annoying. And right. Just keeping them up.
So, like, we know these issues come up, but it seems like over time, you guys always manage to get through and keep growing as Wu-Tang.
Yeah, and you know, you say love conquers all, yo. I love my brothers. They love me. We confess our love to each other, you know, which is also something strong for black men to do, right? our fathers probably never told us they love us. Our mothers was hardly saying they love you, you know, back in growing up. And it was love was a hard word in the household. You had to take it just on faith. But we grew, you know, to express love and to love and to say, yo, I love you, God. I love you, man. Straight up. You know what I mean? Yo, I love you, man. But you're some bullshit. You know what I mean? Even that'll come out. You know what I mean? Look, it's important, right? To, you know, look at the word community. You got common and unity. Mm-hmm. So you got to have something in common, and you got to have something that unifies. And we have that. And our unity not only helped us individually, but it helped our community. It helped not just my family and the main Wu-Tang families, but even when you look around all the ancillary families that was able to get blessed from this. You know, on the show, we'll show you Mook, we'll show you Math, we'll show you Powell and his family. So these ain't even the artists, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you'll see that it took care of so many families. And then when you look at, okay, now they form WuWare. Well, WuWare, you know, 100 employees. So that's another 100 families eating. Wu-Tang Production, another couple of 100 families eating. And it goes on. You know, there was a big thing on social media a few months ago with the Wu affiliates and I guess with Nori thing. And the crazy thing is that those are all more families getting a chance to break bread and to get economics for their craft, all mm-hmm. stemming from one tree.
Yeah, I saw that. Shout out to Nori and the Drink Champs team over there, too.
What was the conversation, Ibra?
It was just talking about Wu affiliates and, you know,
all
the different families. And I guess Nori had got into a back and forth with some people because he said something that was out of line.
Oh,
he
yeah,
had to
yeah.
apologize.
With Killer Priest or something like that?
I don't know all the particulars.
Okay.
But. Yeah. I ain't talking about the beef of it. I'm just talking about the beauty of it is
right.
that it's so many. The thing to look at is like, yo, how many hip-hop families... or how many hip hop individuals able to touch so many families? Hip hop has done it itself. Hip hop fed us on the East Coast. It fed us on the West Coast. It fed us in Chicago.
That's right.
In the Midwest.
The South.
It fed the South. It's feeding London kids, German. It's just feeding. You know what I mean?
It's feeding and it's feeding kids right back in Africa too.
Yeah.
They get into these
right
raps
back
too.
To the foundation.
Yeah.
How early did you first have the name Bobby Digital?
Wow. That might have been 97.
So you, what was the impetus for you adding digital to your, like, how did that character come to be?
It was kind of like, I don't know. I had one of those, I don't want to talk too much about that. I'd be having these visions, you know what I mean? as the abbot on the world of will, you know, as the abbot, I guess sometimes I get blessed with a little bit of foresight, you know what I mean? And I just go with it. I just trust the foresight.
Well, no, listen, you guys notoriously have crazy visions. That's how Ghostface first saw Blue and Cream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I trust them. So
trust your visions, man.
Yeah.
Yo, the season finale, man, make sure you go An American Saga, Wu-Tang.
It's on Hulu.
Yo, RZA, we gotta see you in the building soon, man. And when the time comes, you know, I've been bragging about this Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, and I keep telling everybody, I don't know if it was the fact that I knew it was an art installation or the fact that I was one of a few people that actually got to hear it. So, you know, when you hear something that ain't nobody else heard, you're like, yo, that shit's crazy. And everybody like, yo, is it though? I'm like, I'm telling you it is. And nobody don't want to believe you because they can't get to it, but you got to stand on your square on it. I'm telling people it's crazy. It's crazy.
One day.
Have you listened? Yo, have you listened to it recently?
No, I haven't heard it since my Scarelli bought it, so...
Are you somebody that could pull up on these new owners and be like, yo, let me hear that one time real quick?
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Yeah.
I would hope so.
Yo, let me hear that one time real quick.
Play that back, man.
Yo, give it up, my brother. RZA,
thank you, man.
Yes.
Bomb, bomb. Wu-Tang forever.
There you go.
Respect.
Hot 97. 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.